In the gospel text today, well, in the readings today, we have those two phrases, which on the first hearing can be very overwhelming. So I think one of the first questions that we need to ask ourselves is why? Why is God demanding of us seemingly something that is impossible? To be holy as he is holy, to be perfect as he is perfect. We see the reason why right there in the first reading. Be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Be merciful because I am merciful. Be compassionate because I am compassionate. Be loving because I am loving. Be a people that is recognizable as being like the God that they worship. Be children of your heavenly Father. Be as he is. This is the reason why. God wants his children to be like him. We know from the book of Genesis that we are made in the image and likeness of God. And God is love. He is mercy. He is compassion. We are to be as he is. This is the invitation, my brothers and sisters. God wants his children to look and act like him. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's very important that we dissect this a little bit, pull it apart a little bit, because if not, we can become overwhelmed by that. The understanding of perfection that is laid out here in Scripture, we see it in another location, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, a passage I know very well. Paul says to God, three times I asked for this thorn to be removed from my side, and God said to him, no, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. So Paul says, I will gladly boast of my weakness, for God's power is brought to its telos, to its perfect end in my weakness. This is the understanding of perfection, the biblical understanding of perfection, that perfection means to come into the fullness for the reason for which something was created. And it's important that we understand this, because if we just say, be perfect as God is perfect, we say, I object, I am not God, I am human. How is this possible? The invitation, my brothers and sisters, is to be brought into the perfection according to our humanity. Just as God is in the perfection in accordance with his divinity. To bring our humanity to its perfect end for which it was created. This requires grace. We cannot do it apart from grace. But this is the invitation. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Bring to the fulfillment of all that you are the humanity that God has given to you. We see it in another way, an analogy to understand. If we have two containers, their purpose is to contain stuff, right? So if we have one container and it's 5 gallons, and one that's 5 billion gallons, if they are both full, they have reached their perfection. They are both brought to their perfection, even though the capacity of the two of them is so radically different. They have been brought to their completion, brought to their perfection. In this same way that the difference between us and God and in the amount of love with which we can muster is radically different. And yet we are not created to have within ourselves the capacity of 5 billion gallons. But we are created with a capacity for love. We are created in the image and likeness of God. We are created to do as He has done, to act as He acts. You know, it's interesting, the second reading, Paul speaks so beautifully about the people, about who they have become. You know, the Holy of Holies. You know, I know that as a parish, we love this church building. We respect it. We love it. Come in, get to see the windows every time you come in the church and enjoy the comfort of this place and its beauty and all of these things. And yet Paul says, you have become a living temple. You are the dwelling place of God. You have a capacity within yourself to receive and to possess within yourself all that God is. So there is an invitation for us to be that place of encounter, to be that place of encounter between people and the love of God. How does this take place? We must be filled. My brothers and sisters, we must spend time with God. We must be filled by Him. We have to make decisions in our life about what is important and what is not. We need to take the time to say, these are the priorities of my life. And then look at your life and say, does my allocation of time in my life, because you only have so much, right? Does the allocation of time in my life correspond to the priorities that I believe are the most important things in my life or not? Because, you know, if we say to somebody, you know, they say, well, this and that, you say, well, I don't have time. So I'm exempt. I'm free. I've run out of time. It's not my fault. I've run out of time. Bull. If it is important, what you're saying is, I haven't allocated the time for it. I haven't made it a priority in my life. It's me. It's not that, oh, I just only have 24 and I ran out. I'm at 23 and a half and I have, you know, half of one left for the rest. If it is a priority, then we will set it aside. You're not going to be blaming how much time God gives us. It's His fault. He only gives me 24 hours. If I just had 28, then you know, then I would be there for you. Love you. See you later. My brothers and sisters, we have to set aside time to be with God, to be filled by Him. Because if not, you're running around like a waiter or a waitress in a restaurant with an empty pitcher trying to fill the glasses of the people that are there. And you're like, have a good day, have a good day, have a good day. I don't know why I'm so tired at the end of the day. I've just been, you know, filling up other people, but you have nothing to give. We have a capacity within ourselves, my brothers and sisters, to be filled with God, to be filled with grace. And it is necessary that we take the time to do this, to be in His presence. And I'm saying showing up and having your list of things. I've got to pray for this, got to pray for this. No, being in His presence, being with God, being with Him. Loving Him, being loved by Him, being in that. Before we start talking about what we're going to do with it, just being filled. The beautiful thing is in that process of being filled with the love of God, His presence, His mercy, His compassion, His wisdom, His understanding, this is the beautiful thing. It will overflow. Because He's generous. You guys remember what? 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000. Even what they gave, they got back more than what they gave away. Could you imagine if God was like stingy like us, and was like, okay, 5 loaves and 2 fish, if I break this into 1,000 pieces, okay, 1 piece for you, 1 piece for you. Hold on, you haven't had seconds yet. Hold on, this person hasn't had firsts, you know? And we're like, just got enough for everybody. That's not God. That's not our God. Our God is like, boom, 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 break it, break it, break it, break it, break it. And he's like, okay, now go pick up those scraps. Let me show you the generosity of God. Above and beyond your expectations, above and beyond. From the overflow, my brothers and sisters, will come forth our actions. From the overflow will come forth our expressions of love and patience and kindness. I'm not talking about going into your place of work with your Bible in your hand and smacking somebody over in the head. I'm just talking about being filled so that when you go to work, all of a sudden there's patience and kindness and generosity and love in a way that is abundant. Because that's what the source of it will be. Notice this. We cannot fill the container by doing things. Well, I'm going to do stuff and it's going to fill the container. That's not how it works. The container is filled by God. And then there is an overflowing. Then there is a capacity with which then we can give to others. How does it go? If you don't, you can't give what you don't have. Our society is so caught up in doing and the fruits of what we have done and what we've accomplished in order to prove our self-worth. As Americans, it is something inherent to our culture. Then we had to prove to the rest of the world that we are actually a nation. We're the new kid on the block. We have to prove how good we are to the rest of the world by accomplishing and achieving. Ever watch the Olympics? Why are people so intense about the Olympics? I watched curling the other day, and man, the American team, we stomped them. It's like, curling? Seriously? Have you ever even gone out on the ice yourself, let alone like pushed a rock around on the ice? Yeah, but America won. We proved to the rest of the world we are better at curling than all of them, you know? Which actually, that's going to be a long time before we prove that we're better at curling. But we have this mentality of having to prove ourselves, and that is contrary to the disposition of our heart in our Christian faith. Paul makes it very clear to the Corinthians, it's not us and what we've done that is our boast. It is everything belongs to you because of what Jesus has done for you. We're not going to take pride in it. It's what God has done for you. And therefore, your actions then are an expression of that love. It is a generous gift, not to draw attention to you and say, how great I am. I'm so wise in the world. It says, if that's your attitude, become a fool in the world so that you can actually be wise in what is that is what's most essential, what God has done for you. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We are called to be different. We are called to be as He is. Last point I'd like to make today is like, because it's very clear in the gospel. I mean, there's some very powerful things that Jesus says, you know, about how to reciprocate when there is violence, when there is hatred directed towards us. And so I'd like to talk about that a little bit. It sounds like a second homily, but kind of is. But the point is this. How does our Father respond to the violence and anger and hatred of those against Him? He continues to allow His Son to shine on them. He continues to give them rain. Could you imagine if He was stingy like us and like go through a neighborhood and you're like, good person, bad person. Look, it's all dead grass. There's no sunshine. You know, it's sunny everywhere, but there's a big old cloud hanging over that house. All the grass is dead, trees are dead, person comes out, gets her newspaper, goes back in, you know. It's obvious, hated by God. Loved, hated, loved, you know, going down the street. That's not how our God is. That's not our God. And as his sons and daughters, that is not how we are to be. When we are face to face with evil, my brothers and sisters, it's very important we understand what evil is. And I'll be very clear about this, because when I say it, it sounds wrong. Evil is the absence of love, the absence of goodness. This is St. Augustine. He had to define this way, because he was trying to comprehend, how did evil enter into a world created by a good and loving God? There has to be an evil God somewhere in there. When we speak about evil, when we speak about the devil, you know, the devil was created good. You do know that, right? He was an angel. He was created good to glorify God, and decided in his freedom, in his will, to turn his back against God. And because of that, there is no love there. And when we experience evil, when we experience temptations, when we experience oppression by evil, we are experiencing the absence of love. That is what we experience when we experience evil, the absence of love. And so if I'm face to face with evil, this is what I've learned from the little brothers, little sisters of the Lamb. If I am face to face with evil, how do I fight it? What do I do in the face of evil? Well, if I pull out my gun or my sword, or if I pull out my fists, then I will be consumed by the same thing that I attempt to defeat. If evil is the absence of love, what must I do to destroy it? Now, be very clear. What I'm talking about is something that we're going to do, not sit there passively doing nothing. Because sometimes we read the gospel and we get that impression. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus, in the face of evil, as they are killing him, he allows love to flow forth from his wounds. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He brings love where it is not. And just like a candle being lit in the darkness, my brothers and sisters, the darkness cannot overcome. Our job is to bring love where it is not. You know, as a guy, I get really charged about this because there's something, I don't know, maybe it's not just guys, but this, like, this battle, like warrior kind of thing, like, don't tell me to be passive. Tell me what to do to defeat the evil that is attacking my family. Tell me what to do to defend my church against the evil that is coming against it. Bring love where it is not, and you will destroy the evil that is there. Because where love is, evil cannot remain. The motto of the Community of the Lamb, wounded, I will never cease to love. The Community of the Lamb, the book of Revelation, the Lamb stands as one that has been slain, triumphant. From his wounds, grace and mercy pour forth to transform and to change the world. He is a warrior. He is a lamb, but he is also a lion. My brothers and sisters, our invitation in this and imitating God is not simply to be passive and beat up and destroyed by evil. Our response is to allow love to enter into those moments. And we only have the courage to do that because of what Jesus has done. Our faith and belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we will not be destroyed. That even from our wounds, as we face evil, love, compassion, mercy can pour forth and change. And have you ever wondered why governments attack Christians? Why we're dangerous? Why there are governments that outlaw us? Because they use manipulation and fear in order to rule. And the true believer, my brothers and sisters, is not afraid of death. Well, how should I say that? We know that if we die, we live forever in Jesus Christ. That is why the governments of the world are afraid of the believer, because they have the power to bring love. And what do we know? Love casts out all fear. So, my brothers and sisters, we have a great commission, a great battle that we must do to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, to be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy, to be as His sons and daughters, to fight the battle with love and compassion and mercy. This is our commission. Do we have the courage to say yes? Amen.